Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Climate Action Homes podcast. I'm Joan Gregerson. I'm a real estate agent with Your Castle Realty here in Denver, Colorado, and my focus is on helping people invest, sell, buy, make their real estate dreams come true with a focus on people, planet, and prosperity. And that's why we're talking with Dara Herman today. So thank you so much, Dara, for joining us.
Hello, thanks so much for having me, Joan. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm so excited for this conversation. So Dara is the CEO and founder of the company The Green Wave Symbiosis Solutions. They, I should say, are an ecosystem home ecosystems advisor, doing all kinds of cool things, whether it's in solar, plant walls, and all kinds of other ideas to help us figure out how to have living, regenerative homes that we're living in. So I'm just so happy for this conversation, and thanks so much, Dara, for taking the time to join us. And maybe you could just start with, I think I hit a little bit of what we'll be talking about. So I'd love to just hear, how did you get into this? I know you've been doing solar and other green tech stuff for 6 or 7 years, something like that. And now you're kind of expanding this into a more holistic view of what it means. We were saying this is the green home makeover topic. So love to hear how you got into all of this and to what you're doing right now.
Yeah, thank you so much, Joan, for that introduction. And yeah, I think that we all kind of have our own story or way that we've been shocked into climate action in our own lives or what inspires us to think that way. And for me, the big wake-up moment was when I spent some time at Standing Rock. During the protest of the indigenous people, they're the Sioux tribe, as the fossil fuel industry pushed a pipeline through their land indiscriminately, and as an effect, endangered their water supply. Am I still here? Joan, are you there?
Yep.
Okay,
I'm
cool.
just
Looks like
sort
you
of
jumped
hanging
off.
out in the background, just going,
Okay,
oh my
cool.
gosh, you went to
Okay,
Standing
cool.
Rock.
I
That's
couldn't tell
so cool.
if you were
No,
like, I just saw myself for a second there, just making sure. Okay, yeah.
you're
So
good.
that it kind of made me realize this, why are we waging war over digging up energy from the ground and spewing toxins into the sky about it when we have this unlimited fuel source in the sky, the sun. And that was what inspired me to get into solar. And then when I was after being involved in solar for so long, I started to really think, what else? How can we kind of expand this from there? Because solar is such an amazing technology. And it kind of got me thinking just about how solar is just like mimicking a plant. Like it were just photosynthesizing using these mechanisms and then sending it into our home. And how else can we start to think about like working with plants and mimicking plants in a way that can make our lives easier? And yeah, I think it's just going to make us more connected to our ecosystems that support us. And it's just a fun little rabbit hole to jump down. I've just have been very, very inspired to be working with these green technologies because it's something that I can now, after that, inspiration and passion at Standing Rock, really feel like I'm making a difference in the world the way I want to. And I want to like also empower others to feel the same way about, what they care about as well.
It's really interesting too what you said, because I think when you compare, let's say, a gas engine to solar panels, and how we've kind of put so much effort on engineering and creating stuff and mechanizing. And yet, yeah, solar panels just sit there kind of like a leaf and just catch the sun and do their thing. And they're pretty unobtrusive. They're not like going all over. You have to keep feeding them. They're just like, let me do this. So yeah, that's a pretty neat thing. Yeah. I think that was a pretty wild experience being there.
Yeah, it was. I mean, the image that stuck out in my mind was there was December 5th, negative 10 degree temperatures in 2016, I believe, and North Dakota, and police officers were taking out fire hoses and blasting them at people in negative 10 degree temperatures, and it was just like, this is not okay. We need to, like, it kind of brought this really interesting social and human rights aspect to environmentalism that I feel like they're so intertwined, that not only are the way that we are kind of going about our energy use, not only is it harming our planet, but it's harming inherently people in the process, due to how these extraction processes take place.
Yeah, and the combination of those scenes looking so much like the civil rights, you know, that those kind of things where people were turning dogs and water cannons and shooting at people who are just standing up, and the fact that what they're doing is they're water protectors. So yeah. So that's pretty cool. So your goal now is this more holistic approach and learning from plants of how to create these like beautiful, wonderful spaces that we live in. And so tell us a little bit about, I don't know, do you want to start with the plant walls, or I'm not sure what you call them, the Respira?
Yeah, so the Respira is the plant walls, and yeah, I mean, we're really working hard to get creative about different ways that we can partner with plants to make life easier. You know, I'm a huge home gardener, and we're working on, you know, walls of hydroponic gardens so we can just access our food supply. But the most recent one that we're bringing out right now, they actually just hit the market last week, is the Respira plant wall. And Respira, kind of relating to breath, because these plant walls, they can essentially bring the air through the root systems of the plants that are hydroponically fixed into this wall that gets attached to your wall. And in so doing, there's a bunch of microorganisms at the root level that are better and more effective at purifying volatile organic compounds in the air, a big one being like wildfire smoke or pollution. So this is kind of a way that we like to, you know, there's like, we're talking about climate change and how to respond to it. There's a mitigation side of it where we got to, like, you know, use things like solar panels so we're not spewing as much CO2 and other pollutants and greenhouse gases into the sky. And there's also the reactionary side of it where, like, hey, this is happening right now. We are now experiencing tons of wildfires and worse air pollution than anywhere in the nation here in Denver, Colorado, and sometimes the world due to the wildfires. And how can we not only mitigate climate change, but respond to what's happening by making sure that we can, like, be healthy and adaptive to what's kind of already in motion. So that's what the Respira does. It's, again, working with plants, but now purifying the air in our homes, and all of it kind of ties in with this, like, hey, the more that we can bring plants and plant life into our home, the more we might be inspired to preserve and protect what is our home, and because we can cherish it more seeing it right in front of us.
And it's amazing when you think about it, because, yeah, back to that, if you go the engineering approach where it's like whatever filters and continually buying products and whatever that all takes to make that happen. And instead, if you just nurture a plant and they do it, it's just miraculous.
It's less work. Yeah.
Yeah. It's less work and it's more beautiful. And it's, and as you're saying, like, it's also teacher. It's a teacher. I think every time a seed grows into something, it's a teacher that we have this potential. You might just look like a little dead seed, but that doesn't mean you don't have this potential to become something fantastic with a very small amount of nurturing, just by, being true to your nature. So, fantastic. And so the name of your company, the Green Wave and the Symbiosis Solutions, so why did you call it the Green Wave? What was the idea there?
Yeah. So I think the Green Wave, it really came into fruition from my ideas surrounding the power of the ripple effect, right? In so much as like, I totally believe in grassroots movements. I totally believe that we, the people, can come together and change anything as long as we can kind of like organize and get together. So the Green Wave symbolizes that rippling effect and the exponential effect of all those ripples becoming a monsoon and a tidal wave of positive change and getting behind something that we can kind of all believe in. Because I think that we're trying as a people to kind of like reground ourselves in what we believe in and what our spirituality is and what our relationship to each other and this planet is. So I think that, I don't know. I think that I really want to empower people to be a part of this green movement as much as possible. And I think that that's the idea of the Green Wave, is that it's not just me or the people that I work with. It's everybody who just starts talking about making changes that we need to see in the world, or else it's going to come to an end. But the world's not coming to end. It's humanity that is going to come to an end.
Right.
That's like the biggest thing that we're trying to reframe here, is like, I'm no longer working to save the planet. I'm not saving the planet. I want to work to preserve the people, because I love people and I want us to be able to continue to exist here in a place that we love.
And I think that's why I started Green Team Academy, was that then the messaging of a lot of the environmental movement is individuality. And I think that's what's gotten us into the problem, is, like big corporate solutions and individuality. And so when you come together and say, what can we do together and how can we build this community, which is what I'm doing with the real estate thing. It's like, I want to have people that I know that can help people do all these aspects. I think when we do it together, we're just going to be a lot more successful and be able to have that kind of, it's also the shift from information to transformation. So we need to get away from information and help transform on a very deep level ourselves and the whole communities. And so what are some of the myths that you think that people have when they're thinking of greening their home? Like, what are a couple things that you see repeatedly, whether it's in the solar, your day job as a solar consultant, or doing some of this eco advising?
I think the biggest myth, comes to me as it pertains to solar, and that's people think that solar is expensive and inaccessible to them based on, a requirement to make a big investment or something like that. The biggest myth that I want to bust is that solar is accessible to pretty much everyone. You just have to know how to go to the right place to get it in a way that actually saves you money from day one and also is improving the planet around you. So it's one of these things where it's like, it used to be a thing where you had to like have a big buy-in and pay a bunch of money. But now there are like options to just simply pay a monthly bill for solar that's less than your bill. Or what's really beautiful about Denver and some other cities as well is that Denver is starting to build out these renewable energy programs where people who are having trouble paying their bill can actually sign up for a program where they get this access to a solar farm that's specifically made to pay the bills of underserved communities and people that can't afford to pay their bill. So, I think that the biggest thing there is just misinformation. And the more that we can communicate that, not only are these changes, it's like this, it's this strange win-win scenario that we're not used to, where we're doing something that's philanthropic and then also like receiving immediate personal benefit from it as well, which is really cool.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And that's kind of my goal here, is highlight these things that are good for people, planet, and prosperity. We're not wanting people to suffer. We want to find those ways that people can flourish by doing things. So I think some of the other things I know are like the community solar project. So you may not have a roof to put solar on, but it doesn't mean that you don't have an option for going solar. So, and also if you are, I know SunShare is one of the organizations here. There's probably more. And then I think that you also mentioned grid alternatives for folks that do have a home, but are in a lower income bracket.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, that's one of the biggest offerings that we do through the Green Wave too, is just that we kind of have done all the homework already. So we want to serve as a way that people can just come and schedule a consultation on our website. And from there, just get an idea of what all the options are out there to make your own green. Because we geek out about this stuff all day, and we just are able to basically put a platter of really cool green technologies that you can bring into your home and make a big difference in the world. And that kind of brings me also to this other myth that I want to bust for people, is this idea that, you know, making these green improvements in your home doesn't make a difference. It's just it's a drop in the pool, and it won't actually have any tangible impact, because we're one of 7 billion people on this planet with our one house compared to all this industry. What does it really even matter? First of all, yeah, you're right. The amount of actual difference that it makes in the grand scheme of things doesn't really make a huge difference, but it's that rippling effect again. Like every time someone drives by your house and sees solar panels on it, it's like an instant advertisement that people are just like, oh, whoa, more and more people are doing this. Maybe I should think about doing this. And like just that in itself, and just like being a part of, you know, the movement itself, not only becoming a green home, but telling everybody about how excited you are about it and just spreading. I think that a big goal of mine is to kind of step out of the fear and doom and gloom of the potential of what might happen if we get into a future where climate change destroys so much, and rather get more excited about, hey, like, look at all these ways that we can solve climate change, and look at how cool and innovative we can get in the process, and be kind of excited about what that looks like, a future that is like totally green and connected to our ecosystems, partnering with them. And that's it's the convergence of nature and technology, where technology, yes, it's been so mechanistic in the past and like has often like almost been like a direct harm against our environment through like the mining and manufacturing to do all the building that's required. But what if we can think of a way where technology and nature and ecosystems kind of come into alignment and work together back and forth, like learning from each other? That's like kind of what I think would be a cool future.
Yeah. The book Biomimicry was one of those that changed my life, where it's like just seeing, you know, how do spiders do tensile strength, and how do butterflies create color without pigment, just as structural. And it's like, wait, what? Like how do they do that? But the idea with biomimicry is that life creates conditions conducive for life, and it's been here how many years? Like 2.5 billion. I don't know what the number is, but it's like we are a very young species, and we can learn from nature, and our nature is our teachers, and they're right there and just ready and willing to help us move beyond it. And I think the creativity and the fun, like you're saying, it's like, you know, if people can figure out costumes for going to a football game that are kind of cool or a party, you could also probably figure out something really cool, like these living walls and this, the whole idea of the green home makeover. And so when, let's say that somebody is like, okay, yeah, I want to do something better. I feel kind of stuck. How do you actually work with people? Like, what if somebody is interested? What do they actually do?
Yep. So they go directly to my website, which is thegreenwave.earth. There's a contact us page there where you can just schedule a consultation. And then it's really that one-on-one, because it's a very customized experience. It's that one-on-one experience of like, okay, hey, where's your home at right now? What are your goals? Like, do you want to have your own food growth? Do you want to have like your solar energy? Do you want to have more air purification? What do you want? Like, what are your goals with your home, and how can we partner with plants to get there? So it's, you know, we have a few technologies we utilize right now with the solar, the plant walls, and some of the home gardening stuff, but it's only growing and growing. I mean, we're tapping more into consulting for growing medicinal mushrooms like lion's mane and turkey tail and things of that nature that can really be used as like for their health benefits through tinctures and teas. And we want to be people to, like, you know, again, learn through connecting with life in such a way. But really, it's a kind of like it's the experience that you went with it. We're just kind of here to be present and be excited about kind of like getting more green with whatever we can do. Yeah,
I see you guys as your consulting group as kind of guides for this journey. And it's like, where do you want to go? And so, okay, well, this way would be easier than this way. But I think it all starts with the belief that it is possible, you know. And I mean, it is possible. It's like we're living on this beautiful planet that gives us water and air for free every day, and soil, and there, it just has to be that we can live in harmony. I mean, that's just the only answer. And the idea that we've been kind of brainwashed to think that we can't do it, it is really just that. So this is an exciting thing that you're doing, putting this all together.
And yeah, I was gonna say it's possible and it's achievable now. It's not something that's like something we have to wait for or like save up for. It's just something that there are so many little things that we can do to integrate these changes into our world, which we need to do. It's like the time is now. Like the world is on fire, literally. We're seeing these huge devastating forest fires, and I think there's just time to like snap to it. And like, I think once people do like prioritize something as a big group, change just happens like in the blink of an eye. Like, it's so quick and so exponential how technology's adopted, just how like the horse carriage changed to the car within like a 5-10 year period, just like that. It can be the same thing with solar energy and our connection with the ecosystems that we're embedded within.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was just thinking of some of the other podcasts. So some of those other episodes that anybody listening might want to check out, like we talked to David Takahashi about decarbonizing your home, and they reduced their carbon footprint by 85%. I mean, that's amazing. Yeah. And then Stacey Gustafson, who is a daycare mom and pulled out the lawn and made it into this amazing garden. I got to go visit, and the kids were wandering around among these sunflowers that were taller than them. And they were picking like tomatoes and bringing them over to me. And, you know, that connection to nature is so amazing. And then also spoke with Linnea Bjorkman about growing food. And then in the next couple weeks, I'll be speaking with Katrina Karczewski, and she does a lot of gardening and raised beds. And then also, I'm going to be talking next week about the freedom that comes from being able to sleep on someone else's couch. And so that's kind of a funny story, but you know, just the idea, like, it's okay to fail, and it's actually more fun to try things and not make it so tight about how everything needs to work, because most of that we just made up. It's not really real.
You just gotta jump right in and be okay to fail, for sure. I've had plenty of those, you know, like, I mean, starting my own business and then like realizing, whoa, I'm really tight on finances. I'm gonna go back and do some more work for industry, and then come back again, and just kind of, it's this back and forth continual process. But I think that anyone who has a really cool idea should totally just follow that down the rabbit hole, because like, it's like, that's how we really are able to get excited about our work, is when it's like ours and unique and exciting. Like one of my old Tai Chi teachers told me, like, if you can do your work at work, stay at your job. If you can't do your work at work, leave your job. And I at the time was in a corporate job that was really draining for me. And it wasn't, the work there wasn't my work, but I started doing my work at work. I was like creating time to geek out about solar energy and other things I cared about. And then when I needed to leave, I left. I was just ready to go.
And I think like that, it's a challenge on any level. And I think sometimes you try to change it in the system, and other times you're like, no, I'm going to go completely outside the system. And I love too what you're talking about with the breathing wall. I think thinking about environmental justice and the air pollution, and you know how difficult it is to shut down a refinery and do all that, but you know, to start creating living walls in your own space, that's something that we could all be doing, and that one person could figure out how to do it and then show two others, and those people could show others, and that's how that kind of transformation could happen a lot quicker, maybe than fighting these big fossil fuel industries. So yeah, maybe we need to do that too. But in the meantime, let's also do what we can to protect the every breath.
Acknowledge where we're at, and like know that we want to change to kind of get to the point where our air is great and breathable in our cities, but we're just not there right now. So work towards those solutions, but also kind of just acknowledging that we should prepare ourselves for where we're at right now, because it's kind of sad how much air pollution we have in Denver and in the United States, just and how many diseases and conditions that can cause. Like asthma in general, I feel like was not as much of a thing 20, 30 years ago as it is today. I think it's all a result of a lot of just increased pollution in our air.
Yeah. And in addition, wildfires. So having a way to manage that directly is pretty cool. And that message from nature that we got this, just keep coming back to us. So that's great. So I put in the chat or in the messages there for anybody that's listening to us live. If you want to join, Dara and I are going to be hanging out in a Zoom meeting, and you can hop in there and just ask us anything. I'm so excited on the real estate side to be, you know, I see that the concentration of wealth amongst a few has deleterious consequences. And I want to be that person that helps those of you who are thinking, you know what, maybe I could get started in something, or I've already got something, maybe I could invest, or I want to see if I can get an urban farm going, or, you know, whatever your dreams are, I would like to be there as a resource to help you make those things happen. So I put the link to the Zoom, and for in the future, I'll have it set up so that you can go to the Climate Action Homes website and subscribe for the newsletter. And when you do, then you'll get access to our private Facebook group, as well as these after podcast, after party, whatever we're going to be calling them. So anyhow, but thank you so much, Dara, for hanging out with us today. I always think that when these conversations start, I have so many other questions, and I think other people probably do as well. And so we're so happy to have this chance to just introduce you and let people know that they can find you at thegreenwave.earth.
Yay. I'm so excited to connect with whoever. I love connecting. So reach out, say hi. Would love to talk.
I forgot to mention that you're serving on the Denver Sustainability, what is it? Sustainability Advisory. You say it.
Yeah, it's the Denver Sustainability Advisory Council. Yep, I'm on the energy committee for that. And a big part of that is working with this new climate action fund that passed in Denver this past year, which is $40 million a year is going towards just climate focused endeavors, which is great. Super cool to see that kind of centralized focus. But a huge part of it is just making sure it's distributed with a very strong lens of equity as well. So that's like kind of where some of these programs for people that can't afford solar or having struggling paying their bills may soon be able to start to sign up for these kind of like solar programs that provide more free energy. So
yeah,
and all different types of green endeavors. It's cool. It's like, it's again, one of these cool things where it's like, if someone has a good idea in the green space, there's now this whole other funding mechanism that sky's kind of the limit with what your idea is. They're just kind of willing and ready to listen. So it's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for doing that. And thank you for being willing to, you know, to make those connections and to be one of those warriors that is out there kind of looping back to your experience with Standing Rock, seeing the injustice and being able, offering your services to help people connect to some of those resources. So appreciate you doing that.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate doing it, and hopefully we can make this work for everybody.
Yeah, indeed. All right. Well, that wraps up our episode of the Climate Action Homes podcast. And if you're around right now and you want to hop in and join us in our Zoom after podcast, then do so. And otherwise, I will see you next week with the podcast all about how great it is to be willing to sleep on someone else's couch. So that'll be fun. And so thanks so much, Dara. Thanks, everybody. And we will see you soon.
Thanks, y'all.